We read from Sacred Scripture this morning in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read the entire chapter together. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For wherefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You consider this morning verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Loved in the Lord, an important part of parenting is to be an example to the children that God has given us. It's true that our children need to be taught, and that the Word of God is the textbook that we are to use with our children. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks to Timothy about the value of this, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the profit of Bible study. All Scripture is given that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There must be knowledge, and we need to teach our children. That's essential. But doctrine must be adorned with godliness. Example must go with instruction. And the children that God gives to us are as much in need of godly example as they are of godly instruction. That's so much the case that our children will do what we do rather than what we say. And this morning as we begin, it's important for us to understand as parents and even every one of us as members of the congregation to understand that regardless, whether you like it or not, you are leaving an example for others in the church, and especially for the children, the following generation in the church and in your home. You might not like that. You might say, well, I'm not here as an example for others. I'm just here for me, regardless. regardless, you are leaving an impression. You are leaving an example for the children in the church. What you say, how you live, how you react to things leaves an impression and an influence and teaches others how to live in the church. So this morning what we want to do is we want to take these words that Paul speaks to a young pastor, Timothy, and we want to apply them, especially this morning, to parents and the role that parents have in the home with regard to their children. That's very appropriate. We have before us this morning two young couples, first-time parents with young children. Paul says to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Being a godly parent isn't contingent on age and experience, but God qualifies in another way. So let's look at this description of a godly example, and notice how complete it is. Be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's look at this description and apply it now this morning, especially to parents, under the theme, parenting by godly example. And we'll notice three things. First, the calling to be a godly example. In the second place, the qualities of a godly example. And then finally, the power of a godly example. Now, this whole idea, this biblical idea of being an example, is something that applies to every member of the church. And it's very important for us to realize this in our life in the Church of Jesus Christ. It certainly applies to leaders and to office bearers and to pastors in the church. Paul is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, and he says to him, "Be thou an example of the believers." But this is important as well in the communion of the saints. This is an important part of our life together in the church. In Hebrews 10, we read verse 24, "Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." The idea is this, that by what you do and your regularity in and your priority in spiritual things, you set an example for others and you provoke them also to live in a godly way. Example is important in friendships. In Proverbs, Solomon warns against becoming a friend of an angry man, Proverbs 22, "lest thou learn his ways." That's important for children. For teenagers, be careful about the friends that you pick. Your parents talk about this with you. You need godly friends who'll be a godly influence for you. Because there's pressure, there's influence. We call it peer pressure. And it can be for evil or for good. But it's very important that we realize that the example that others set is something that we'll follow. And the example that we set is something that others will follow. Example is also very important in the Christian's life with regard to his witness to the world. The church speaks louder, and the people of God speak louder by what they do than by what they say. That's what the world examines. That's what the world watches. You remember David, after he counted the people, and God sent the prophet to him, and God said to David that by what he had done, he had caused the enemies of God to blaspheme the name of God. It was by what he had done. And the witness and the testimony that we give in our lives is a sermon to the world. We have to remember, example is so important. That's important in marriage as well. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle talks about a believing husband and an unbelieving wife, or an unbelieving husband and a believing wife, and the believing wife wins her husband not by her words, but by her godliness. her example, his power and influence and importance in the example that we live before others. Now, Paul is writing to a young pastor here who's a spiritual leader in the church. And he says that this is important for him in his life and calling in the church. And it's important for us this morning to see that this is not only important in the church, not only important for leaders in the church, but this morning especially, it's important for parents. Because parents are spiritual leaders in their homes. God has entrusted to the care of parents the spiritual well-being of their children. In Hebrews 13, it says of the office bearers, they watch for your souls as they that must give account. And that's no less true for parents. You watch for the souls of your children as they that must give account. God's going to ask you on the judgment day, what did you do with your children? What did you teach them? What example did you give them in your life? And so everything that Paul says here about the pastor as an example applies to the parents as an example in the home. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 14, we're told that a father by discipline delivers the soul of his son from hell. He delivers his soul from hell. And in Titus, the apostle gives instruction concerning fathers and husbands and mothers. And it has to do with their example. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, he's talking to the older women, that they teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home. And then at the end of verse 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In other words, they have to live a godly example in the home. The mother does. So that the Word of God receives praise and honor through her example in the children that God gives. In verse 7, the young men must be sober-minded in all things, showing themselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now he's talking about the example of the young men who are husbands of these young women who are keepers in the home. So the godliness, the example, is important for parents as well as for pastors. And I don't have to really tell you that. You know the importance and you know the influence of a parent's example in the life of a child. That happens even in just day-to-day activities in the home. A father will be busy shaving his face and his little two-year-old son mimics him. Maybe you've seen it too in the way, for example, that a teenager walks and you watch the father walk and they carry themselves the same way. You can see the father in the son. And it's by not just nature, but it's by nurture. It's what they learn from observation. Think of the Old Testament kings and what God says about each of them. Either they walked in the ways of their father, or they walked in the ways of David, or they walked in the ways of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. And there's always there the example of the previous generation carried out and followed in the life of the new king. Because that example had such an influence on the thinking and the desires of the following generation. And the sins of the fathers are seen in the children. God even punishes sin this way, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, so that the sin in one generation is developed in the next generation and the children. You only have to look at Jacob and his multiple wives and the trouble that it brought in his home, and David and his adultery and the trouble that it brought in his home. We sang Psalm 78 about children learning from history's light, from the examples that have been set before us, good ones to follow, bad ones to learn from and avoid, that our hearts be not hard against God like those who have gone before. So this is important for parents. Now there are really two things that Paul says to Timothy here in the text. He writes to Timothy to encourage him as a young minister. And he says, first of all, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young man, probably in his early 30s. And people would have questioned his ability to be a leader and a teacher in the church. And Timothy was a meek man, intimidated by the work that he had to do, wondering whether he was actually qualified, hearing the criticisms that others gave of his work and his qualifications, and wondering if indeed there was something in them. He wasn't equipped for this. He was just a young man. And Paul says to him, let no man despise thy youth. Don't let those objections and questions throw you off. Don't be intimidated by the opinion of others about your age and your lack of experience. Your qualification for your work, Timothy, isn't in your age. But it's in this, that the Spirit of God has equipped you and called you to this work. And it's your personal godliness, your wisdom, as far as the things of God are concerned, your Christian qualities that the Spirit has worked in you, that qualify you for the work. Now that's very important and applicable this morning. Two young couples, probably with the same feeling as Timothy, this monumental task in front of them of raising children. How are we going to do it? How can it be done? What qualifies a person and a couple for this? We don't have the age, we don't have the experience. Let no man despise thy youth. Here's the qualification. God equips you for this work by His Spirit, and godly living, is the important thing. Instead of worrying about what you don't have and your lack of qualification, look at your positive calling and what you are and what you should be in Jesus Christ, and be an example of the believers. Now the word, and here's the other thing that Paul tells Timothy here, to be an example. The word example has the idea of a type or an imprint, a model. If I take a hammer and beat on the pulpit here, it would leave an imprint in the wood. And that's the idea. An imprint. A model. Something that others can look at and they can say, well, what's faith? What's purity? What's love? Paul is saying to Timothy, people in your congregation ought to be able to ask that question and then look at you and see what it is. What's faith? Well, look at the pastor. What's love? Well, look at Timothy. He's the model of those things as an example of the believers. The Spirit left an imprint in his life. It was evident. This is the idea. It was evident that God was at work in his life. That's the idea of an example. It said in Acts 4, verse 13 of the disciples, that the Jewish leaders took note that they had been with Jesus. Jesus left an imprint, an impression in their lives. It was evident that they were His disciples. That's the idea here. That it's clear that the Spirit has worked faith and love and purity and all these other things in our life. Now, Paul not only tells Timothy what he should be, but also tells him how he should be this. And that little preposition in the text is very important. Be an example of the believers. Not to the believers, but an example of the believers. There's a difference. Now, there's similar ideas, but there's a difference in emphasis. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying to Timothy, as you live in the congregation as an example, don't think of yourself as an example to believers, but think of yourself as a model of what a believer should be. And the emphasis is on your relationship, which relationship is more important? Your relationship to others or your relationship to God? If somebody looks at himself as an example to believers, then he thinks of himself in relation to other people. He says, well, I'm an example for them to follow. You see the emphasis. But if a person thinks of himself as an example of believers, of what a believer is, he thinks of himself in his relationship of faith to God. And there's the emphasis. Some people will live in the church. Sometimes a pastor will be this way. Or a parent. And they'll be very concerned about what everybody else is thinking. And they want to present their home and their family and themselves always in a good light. They have children who have good manners. They have children who are enthusiastic about education, who do well in school, who are polite, all those things. They're always concerned and thinking about what others are saying and what others are thinking. That's not what Paul means when he says be an example of believers. It isn't about what others think of you. But what do you think of God and what's your relationship to Him? And as a believer, are you an example of what a believer should be before God? That's the emphasis. And if you are, if you're a believer, as you should be before God, you will be an example for others to follow. So do that. Do that as parents as well. People are going to have a lot of opinions about how you should raise your children. And how they should and shouldn't sit in church and when they should get a spanking and how they should be dressed and all kinds of things. Be an example of the believers. Live as a believer before God. That first. In a sense, that takes the pressure off parenting and off your home. You're not here for the evaluation of others, but you're here first for the evaluation of God. That's what's important. Live before Him as an example of believers. You find this idea of being an example in many other places in the New Testament Scripture, and that's the emphasis in these other passages as well. In Philippians chapter 3, and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Is Paul being arrogant when he says this? Be a follower of me? and follow my faith? No. He understands he's a man of weakness and sin himself, the chief of sinners. But there's a genuine pattern of godliness in his life that's important to him. His faith, his being a believer and an example and a model of what a believer is important. And that's not just so that others will follow him. That's not the emphasis of what Paul is saying. Not here in the text to Timothy either. But it's that others may follow Christ. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be followers of me as I am of Christ. That's the important thing here. As an example, not that people follow you and your teaching and your ideas and your opinions and your patterns and what you think, but are you pointing them by your example to be followers of Jesus Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says, "Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." This is where an example, a godly example, must lead. It's not about you being an example to believers, but you being an example of a believer who's a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, how vital and how necessary it is for parents to think about this. It's important that we examine ourselves this morning in the light of the Word of God, because we are not always what we think we are. We may think we're a good example, but we're not always what we think we are. We bring into our homes and we bring into the raising and the teaching and also being an example to our children so much baggage because of our sin, and we make this task, which is so difficult already because the children that God has given to us are sinful, we bring into it the baggage of our own sin and we make this difficult task even more difficult. It's reassuring for us to know that God uses weakest means to fulfill His will. In spite of our sin, He uses us for the instruction and the teaching of our children. But that doesn't mean that we say, "Oh well, it doesn't matter how I live." No, we need this morning, especially as parents, to look at ourselves. Are we the example that we should be to our children? Look at verse 16 in 1 Timothy 4. Paul says to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Take heed unto thyself and the doctrine. And he's saying to Timothy, it's all right that you preach and that you teach and that you're orthodox in your teaching and your preaching, but there has to be not only an orthodoxy in your doctrine, but there has to be an orthopraxy in your practice. And that has to match what you teach. You have to realize that not only what you say, but what you do is a light and a way of teaching. Take heed to thyself, he says to Timothy. Take heed to thyself, God says to believing parents this morning. What about you and your standing before God? And your relationship and your faith to God? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you putting sin to death in your life? Do you have a hunger for holiness? Examine yourself this morning. Watch yourself. That's vital. Because if example doesn't follow advice, the children will look at the example. Children are quick observers. They have their finger on the pulse of hypocrisy. And Jesus has a lot to say about hypocrisy and spiritual leaders. In Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8, He talks about a people that draw near to Him with their mouths, but their hearts, and He means their lives as well, are far from Him. And He warns His disciples in Matthew 23, verses 3 and 4, concerning the scribes and Pharisees that sit in Moses' seat. He says, "And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say, and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Jesus came into an apostate Israel. What was the explanation for it? Well, here it was in the spiritual leaders, their hypocrisy. And we mustn't have that in Christian homes and the parents. I'll teach, I'll tell you, but my life's going to say something different. Your life is a sermon. And your children are going to take the lowest common denominator in your life and say, that's the standard. That sets their standard. Regardless of what they say. It's what they do that leaves the largest impression. And so we have a calling. Well, what are the qualities of a godly example? What kind of characteristics are important in a godly example and a parent? And the Apostle Paul here in the text lists six of them. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And the first two have to do with a person's public conduct. In word, that refers to what a person says, and in conversation, that refers to a person's lifestyle, how they live, how they deport themselves in public. These are very important in the example that we leave. Be an example in word. Well, what's important in the example that we leave our children in word? We can look at Ephesians chapter 4 and see what's important. Ephesians 4 verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." And then down in verse 29, Ephesians 4, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And then verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We want our children to do these things. And if we want them to do these things, we have to be an example of these things to our children. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth. You want your children to be honest. You want your children to be able to trust you. Be honest with them. Be trustworthy in your conversation with them. You have to tell the truth in love. Be kind in your speech. Children are so unkind in their speech sometimes. But what example are you setting? Do you speak to edify? That is, do you build them up in your speech so that they grow as people and they grow as Christians and they're not afraid to come to you because they'll know that your words from the past have been words of love to receive them? See, the fact is that here's a place where we as parents fail so miserably. Just listen to your children for a little while. Listen to how they talk to their mother. Listen to how they talk to each other. Listen to how they talk to others in their play. And then listen to yourself. How much of it isn't what they've learned from you? How do you react? How much kindness and love is there in your words? Or bad language, profane language, as the apostle used it here, or language that tears others down or builds them up? What are your children learning from you? Are they learning respect? What are they learning about volume level, shouting? What kind of words are they learning to use for exclamations? Be an example in word. And then there's life. Be an example in conversation, says the Apostle Paul. Your life is a sermon. How do you conduct yourself in general? What observations do your children make of your life? What are they learning from the way that you treat other people? How do you treat the bank teller and the waitress? What are they learning from those things? Your business practices, your attitudes towards your work. What are they learning from your general conduct? Be an example in conversation, says the Apostle Paul. What are the priorities of your life that your children are observing? What's important? What do you do with your money? What do you do with your time? What are your desires for yourself, for them? What takes priority in the home? What are the habits of your life? What are the habits of your home and the customs of your home? The children learn so much from habits. Again, that's true just in a general sense. If a parent is tidy and organized and punctual, the children are going to learn that from their parents. And so also with spiritual things. What are the spiritual habits of the home? J.C. Ryle lists important habits that we should teach our children. The habit of Bible knowledge and Scripture reading. The habit of prayer. The habit of diligence and regularity in the use of the means of grace. The habit of faith. The habit of obedience. The habit of speaking the truth. The habit of redeeming the time. What are your children learning as they look at your conduct, your lifestyle? What example are you setting? And again, it has to be about God and not you. Sometimes we use our children for our own advantage and our own name and our own reputation. And so we want things like popularity and education and achievement and success, and we're embarrassed by our children. Be an example of the believers before God. So you have first there your external conduct, and there's so much that children learn from words and lifestyle. And they set the standard from what they see in the lifestyle and the words of their parents. But then Paul also speaks of the virtues that mold our private conduct, our lives behind closed doors. We see everyone's best face in public. Your children are going to know your other face. They're going to know you much better than the person that sits across the aisle from you or the person that sits with you at Wednesday night Bible study as you piously discuss the Scriptures. Your children are going to have a much deeper perception and understanding of you than that. What about your private life? What molds your private life? That's what Paul is talking about in these other four things. Charity. Love. He He's talking about commitment and self-sacrifice in your relationships. Your relationship to God and your relationship to others in the home and others in the church and even to the neighbor, the unbelieving neighbor. What do your children see? They see a deep, general concern for the well-being of others and a sacrificial love. Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's charity. Paul's talking to Timothy, the pastor. This is what he must do. This must be his attitude and approach as a minister of the gospel, that he's willing to be offered to lay down his life. And parental love is no different. This is what it is, that you lay down your life for your home, for your spouse, for your children. Is that what your children see as regards love in you? Is that the kind of love and commitment they see in you towards God? Are you a cross-bearing disciple? Children hear about the love and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, but do they see it? Do they see it in your life? And then be an example in spirit, and the idea is spirituality, a depth of character founded on the Word of God. We talked a couple days ago on Christmas Day about Mary's pondering. Is this what your children see in you? That kind of depth of spirituality? Or is your life all on the surface, like freshly fallen snow, 150 miles wide and 1 inch deep? What do your children see? Be an example, he says, in faith. And he doesn't just mean knowledge here, but he means trust. Do you trust God? Is the God that you teach to your children a God who, it's evident in your life, is a God to be trusted? What happens when Dad loses his job? What happens when the doctor's report is inconclusive, or there's a serious disease? What happens in death? Do you panic? Or do you trust? What do your children see? What are your children learning from your faith in such adverse circumstances? Be an example in faith. And then he mentions also purity. Be an example in purity. And the idea of purity is especially physical, sexual purity. He says to Timothy in chapter 5 and verse 2, the same idea. He says, the elder women exhort as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. Men, what are you teaching your boys about purity? They're observers, silent observers, but they're learning. What are they learning? What are they learning about commitment to the physical relationship? You know, from Scripture, there's plenty of examples. You know, from experience, that there's nothing that can destroy a child. There's no sin carried on in generations so much as this one. Sexual impurity. What example are you setting for your children? Children are learning. Children are watching. They're watching all these things. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. They're watching. What are they learning? What's your deportment and your example that you leave for your children? Are we parents who have a genuine hunger for holiness in all these areas? And a genuine hatred for sin in all these areas? And are our children able to see that, to notice that in our lives. Timothy had such an example himself. Paul speaks of the faith of his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, an unfeigned faith. That means a faith without pretense. They weren't phonies. It wasn't just before men, but they were examples of the believers before God. Is that what your children are able to see in you? Genuine faith. Children can sense it. Children can feel it. And children will follow it. There's power in the example that we leave. That's self-evident. Just in general. But in spiritual things now, especially, there's power in the example that we leave. Somebody put it this way, your life speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. Your life speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. A bad example sucks all the power from teaching and authority. If you leave a terrible example for your children, you may as well throw out the door your teaching and the authority that you have as a parent. You must adorn your life, your doctrine with godliness. That's the point that Paul is making to Timothy here as a pastor. Live an exemplary life. People will question your experience and your age. Live a godly life. Live a godly life. That will answer all objections. Be an example to the believers. The childhood years are years when a person is most influenced, and no one has so much influence on a child as the parents. So be an example to your children. Let's not be careless. We can be so careless. Let's examine ourselves in this regard this morning. And here's the power of our example. That by our example, we lead our little ones to Christ. As Paul said, follow me as I also follow Christ. What you teach them and the importance of your teaching them in the things of the Lord is to lead them to Christ. But so also the example that you set for them, to lead them to Christ. This is the power of Christian example in the home. And that's what you want ultimately. You want them to follow Christ. Be an example of the believer to your children. And God will bless that. We're going to sing in a little while, bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. He's an example. And there comes blessedness in his family and home. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this word that gives us instruction. An important task of raising our children. Help us, Lord, to take this seriously, not to be careless, to understand the impact and the importance of the example that we set for our children, and that our children too may learn from history's light, from the example of those who have gone before. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.